My dad went to the doctor a week ago and he got a clean bill of health. He's doing very well. However, when I was talking to my dad about his appointment, he said, but the doctor kept checking my birth certificate. And each time he'd say, yep, still the same. Yep, you're a 75-year-old man. And what the doctor meant was, slow down, Gary, you're a 75-year-old man. Whatever age you are, your fate is still the same as everybody else in this room. Our mortal end is inevitable. And that's why we need to ask the Lord to teach us to number our days. Help us, Lord, to realize that we are so temporary here on earth. You blink and half your life is gone. On one of the most popular soap operas, the opening credits focus on an hourglass. And you hear the voiceover, like sands in the hourglass, so are the days of our lives. And I wanted to look this up because I've heard it before and I wanted to see if it was true, and it actually was. It is a fact that when you turn an hourglass over, the sand starts to pour down through what they call the throat and into the lower bowl. However, that initial falling speed is slower. And the less and less sand in the top bowl, the faster it falls. It really does fall faster as it nears the end. And isn't that how life seems to go? The older you get, the quicker it goes by. Teach us to number our days. And that exact quote comes from the book of Psalms. So teach us to number our days that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. So why should we number our days? So that we understand where all of our days come from. It doesn't take too much looking around to see that death is not partial. And while the elderly do die at a higher rate than the young folks do, both still pass from this earth. Our days are here so that we bring honor to God. They are technically not your days. They're His days that He has given you to use. So what exactly are you going to do with them? As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone, and we fly away. Now, this is actually recorded just a couple verses before teach us to number our days. And it comes from Psalms chapter 90. Now, according to the writer, if you are blessed to reach 70 years of age, that is a full life. That is a full life that you have lived. If you happen to hit 80, well, those are bonus years in the bank. And we all laugh about it when we talk about age and what some consider old and what some consider young. And the older you get, the more you change the way you look at age. But 70, or if you're fortunate, 80, that is the standard that God has set down for our lives. And I hope that as God's people, we're content with that. Sometimes as Christians, we get so anxious over our lives as we tend to get closer to eternity. Why? Why not have the attitude of the Apostle Paul? He said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." If you are a Christian, do not fear death. Paul was confident in his faith that if he died right then and there, it was about to get a whole lot better for him. And to my brothers and sisters that are in this age bracket of a full life, I honestly, in a lot of ways, envy you that you are that much closer to your reward. Teach us to number our days. That is not the philosophy of Western medicine. As one doctor put it, Western medicine is meant to keep those alive who should have died years ago. There's some truth to that. And it's funny how so many people want to keep this life going. There was I think it was at the time, the Waterman billboards a couple years ago, 40 is the new 70 or whatever it was. And for the Christian, the better life is to come. But the context of Psalms chapter 90, it's not just a neat saying to say. But the age that is given here, 70 to 80 years old, the context of Psalm 90 is actually about how difficult life is and how life is filled with sorrows and problems and hard work. With that in mind, consider the source. You know who wrote Psalm 90? Moses. And he lived to be 120. And we'd say, wow, Moses, what's your secret? You should sell an elixir, the secret of youth, or whatever it might be. I don't envy Moses one bit. Especially those last 80 years of his life. I wouldn't want to be Moses. They were hard years. So Lord, teach us to number our days, because soon our days are over and we fly away. So then what are we to do with the days of our life? If they go so quickly, then how should we spend our days? Well, I'll tell you how we normally spend them. It seems that our life is based on making plans. When we're kids, we plan on having little Jimmy over for a sleepover. When we're teenagers, we start planning on where we want to go to college. When we're in college, we start planning a career path. When we're a little older, we start planning the home life, choosing a potential spouse, having kids, and then we start planning vacations with the family, and then life goes by and the kids grow up, then we start planning retirement, and then retirement gets here and we start planning how we're going to use all this newfound time. Is that how you plan life? No. No. Because life never turns out how you planned it. Here's what James says. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. What is this guy's problem here? Was it that he's planning? Well, give him credit that he's planning. Nothing wrong with planning. But this guy here was so sure that his plan was going to work out exactly like he thought it would. What does tomorrow hold? You only think you know. But life changes just like that. Life ends just like that. Our life is a vapor. Just like watching a kettle boil. That steam, you'll see that it goes up in the air and it flies away. It disappears. If you ever want a good eye-opener, and I don't think field trips should just be for kids, you ever want a good field trip? Go walk a cemetery. Walk a cemetery and look at the dates of the deceased. And you will find that death does not discriminate with regards to age. You will see headstones that cost thousands and thousands of dollars. But you will also see headstones that are no more than a simple concrete marker. What cemeteries tell us is that it doesn't matter your financial worth. It doesn't matter your economic status. It doesn't matter how popular you were or how many friends you have. Lord, teach us to number our days. Life can be full of useless planning. But it's not that we can't plan. But you had better plan according to the will of God. If the Lord wills, I will do this or that. When God's in your plan, it's always a good plan. Teach us to number our days. Life goes by fast. And sometimes in people's older years, they look back with regret at all the things they didn't get to do. Don't look back in regret. If the Lord wills, we will do this or that. We all have places we want to go. We all have things we want to do. We all have a bucket list. We just don't want to call it a bucket list. You know why they call it a bucket list? Things to do before you kick the bucket. And so there are things that you want to do. There's things I want to do. Don and I were talking about this earlier. I want to go to the Holy Lands. I do. I want to walk Jerusalem. I want to walk around the Sea of Galilee. I want to go to Mexico and go cage diving with the great whites. I have always wanted to do that. I want to take Ashley to Prague. I don't know why Prague. Ask her, but that's where she wants to go. I want to take the train that goes across Canada from one end to the other. It's just such pretty country. But the simple truth is, I may not get to do all of those. I may not get to do any of those. Our life goes by too fast. And sometimes our desires in life don't come to pass. You will not do all the things in life that you want to do. That's just the way it is. But hear me well. You will not get to do all the things in life that you want to do. But you had better make sure that you do all the things that you've got to do. And since my time in the hourglass is less than it was yesterday, I had better make sure that my life is on track to spend eternity with my Lord. I better make sure that what I need to do in my life gets done. The things that really matter, the things that make an eternity of difference. Whether I walk the shores of Galilee, that doesn't matter. What will matter, though, is if I'm walking side by side with my Lord. Whether I take the train and see all the pretty countryside of Canada, that's not going to matter. What will matter, though, is that my eyes behold a far more beautiful place, heaven. Teach us to number our days. And all of us, wherever we are in life, however old we are, we need to ponder this with great seriousness. We need to stop making excuses. We need to stop being so lazy. And we need to just start doing what God wants us to do. To begin with, don't be a Herod. In Acts 26 and verse 27, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do. And Agrippa replied to Paul, in a short time you will persuade me to become a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that whether in a short or long time, not only you but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains. Now some translations vary here. Was this a question? Was this a statement? Regardless, the onus was still on Herod. Would he become a Christian? And one thing that we sometimes overlook with this passage, not only had Herod been taught what the prophets had said, he believed what the prophets had said. But Herod put off that decision to become a Christian. I don't know why. Maybe he became a Christian later on. I don't know. But the point is that he still put it off. Tragically, even while believing it. But he still put it off. Remember what James said? Your life is a vapor. Here for a little while and then it's gone. What will your life be like tomorrow? And this is not the invitation yet, so don't get your hymn books out, okay? But if you have not become a Christian, why not? What will your life be like tomorrow? To call upon Jesus as your Lord, to make a conscious effort to repent, to turn away from worldly things, and to seek righteous things, to make a change in your life, a change for the better. To have your sins washed away by being baptized in the blood of Jesus and living every day the best you can, a life pleasing to God, where you trust Him and you live your life and you live it for Him. You're not going to do it perfectly. Nobody in this room's doing it perfectly. But don't be like Herod. With such an important decision, become a Christian, because a day will come when it will be too late. Teach us to number our days. But with that said, I'm talking to a group of Christians who struggle with sin. Every one of us. And we need to get our sins resolved in our lives, especially with sins we think we can keep a secret. As Moses told the Israelites, be sure your sin will find you out. Numbers 32. And the context of that passage is that a couple of the tribes, actually two and a half of the tribes, they want to stake their claim on the east side of the Jordan River instead of the promised land where they were heading. Moses tells them, okay, fellas, you guys can have this land here, but you still have to cross the river and join with your brothers and fight against Canaan. Because if you don't, be sure your sin will find you out. Sin always does. When sin is kept a secret, when it is found out, it is always far worse than it would have been had you just confessed your sins. In Psalm 51, very popular psalm, but this is King David as he writes in verse 1, "Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak, and blameless when thou dost judge." Here's King David just laying it all out before the Lord. Here's the man after God's own heart. He is confessing his sins, begging for God's forgiveness. We all struggle with sin. That's a fact. But what do you do about it? When Christians sin, the Apostle John talks about that in 1 John 3. That of course we sin. But as Christians, our sins are covered by the blood of Jesus. However, John also speaks of those who practice sin. And John says they are of the devil. We all sin. We all stumble. But for the Christian who continually and intentionally commits the same sin over and over, and there's no remorse, there's no fruits of repentance, that's the one who practices sin. You've got to resolve your sin in your life. And going back to this passage with David, you remember when this psalm was written? After he had been busted. Right after his secret had become known. He'd sinned with Bathsheba, committed adultery, murdered her husband, and then he tried to cover up the illicit pregnancy. Be sure your sin will find you out. You can't cover for that. David finds out the hard way. Tragically, it was not just the rebuke of Nathan. You remember what happened with that baby? He died. Be sure your sin will find you out. Now, we know the rest of the tale here. I shouldn't call it the tale. I was trying to avoid the term story and ended up calling it a worse thing. Now, David resolves his sin. But unfortunately for David, do you ever notice a pattern after the incident with Bathsheba? What direction his life goes? Just it never recovered. Sin makes a mess of your life. Always has, always will. However, with that said, David made it right with God. And that's what we must do with our sins. You did the wrong thing, now do the right thing. Open your heart and repent. Confess our sins to our merciful Father. Confess our sins to one another. Resolve your sins and do it now, because we don't know what tomorrow holds. Teach us to number our days. Look at the words of our Lord in Mark 8. And he summoned the multitude with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's shall save it." So how should I value my life, these days that God has given to me? Well, we should live for God, period. But that doesn't mean that you can't enjoy life. Sometimes people think that God is a killjoy, where he just wants to, you know, rain on our parade, not let us have any fun. We're supposed to be gloomy Christians walking around saying that we are happy when we're actually hating our lives because we can't enjoy it. God wants us to be happy in life. And in fact, it is God that only gives true happiness in life. But Solomon is clear all through Ecclesiastes. Enjoy your life. Okay, these days that God's given to you, they're gifts. Enjoy your life. But don't forget your Creator. How do we view our life needs to be the same way as how God views our lives. Precious, yes, but still temporary. And life is only precious because what it can lead to. Life's only precious because of who gives it to us. But tonight, when I lay my head down on my pillow, if I do not wake up tomorrow morning, so be it. I will be at home with my Lord. And someone says, well, you're the preacher, you're supposed to say that. That is how I honestly feel. And I hope you feel that same way. That if today, November 8th, 2020, if that's the day that's going to be on your headstone, that you're content with that. I hope that's your strongest desire, to go home and to be with your Lord. And what Jesus is saying here, it's actually a comparison. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow Him. But if you love your own life more than all those things, you can't be my disciple. You can't come after me. Your life is not the most important thing. How many people in this world treat this life as though it's the most important thing? Your life is not the most important thing. Your life serving God is the most important thing. I don't know when your expiration date is. The ink ran out when I got my stamp. I can't read it. I don't know what it says. I don't know what your expiration date is. But may all of us be ready. That when our number is called, that we are right with the Lord. And if you aren't, I pray that you get right with the Lord, because we do not know what tomorrow brings. Teach us to number our days. I'd like you to turn to the hymn of encouragement, please. You know, as we think about the shortness of life, the brevity of life, the unpredictability of life, it's kind of funny, all of these self-proclaimed prophets, these self-proclaimed fortune tellers, they didn't say anything about 2020. No one saw it coming, because you don't know what your life's going to be like. We must always be ready that when that moment comes that we leave this life, whatever your need may be, let's sing this song as though we mean it. Let's stay seated as we sing.